Hello, my name's Verity. I'm going to be reading from the Bible for us tonight. So please open up to John chapter 15, verse 26, and we're going to go to chapter 16, verse 15. It's page 753 of the Pew Bibles in front of you. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you must also testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. All this I have told you, so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when their time comes, you remember that I warned you about them. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. None of you asked me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you.
Excited about this new job. He's a dad with kids in school in Sydney, and he's like convinced that this is the best thing for his family. He's convinced that it's an awesome job, so he's packed up his life and he's moved over there. And he said to his family, he said, it's for your good that I'm going away. It's going to be a two-year commitment and then I'm going to come back, but I'll keep coming and visiting. He gets on the aeroplane, he goes to Singapore, and while he's over in Singapore, he's like, who am I kidding? This is not good. I'm here without my family. Like, he gets on the plane, comes back to Australia, and he says, you're coming with me. So they've all just packed up and they've all gone to Singapore together. When Jesus in the passage today says, it's for your good that I'm leaving, that I'm going away, you can imagine what the followers and friends are thinking. They're like, who are you kidding? It's for my good. Like, it would be much better for us to stay together. It's been great walking and talking with you, Jesus. I wish you stuck around. How can it be for my good? How can you genuinely and truly believe that it's for my good that you're leaving? And the passage starts to explain something of why it's for your good that Jesus is going. So let's pick it up. Jesus goes on and explains himself. It is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So the Advocate is nicknamed for the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the Holy Spirit tonight. And Jesus is saying, hey, it's actually for your good that I'm leaving, because then the Holy Spirit will come. It's all about the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is saying, it's actually better for you that the Holy Spirit comes than I stick around. So the Holy Spirit must be pretty awesome then. What's so good about the Holy Spirit? That's the question we've got to answer tonight. If we're going to understand this passage, what's so good about the Holy Spirit that Jesus can genuinely say it's better that I leave and you get the Holy Spirit? And we haven't understood this passage until we can actually say to ourselves, yeah, I'm really glad Jesus left this earth and went to heaven. What's so good about the Holy Spirit? Well, some of us have no experience with the Holy Spirit. We would say, I don't really know what's great about the Holy Spirit. I'm not sure if the Holy Spirit exists. Others might have come here tonight with some vague experience or sense of something spiritual, and you wonder, is that the Holy Spirit? Could be conscience, could be some spirit of a space or a place. You might wonder if that's what we're talking about. Others have gone through schools where there's chapels and creeds, and so for some of you, you might have like maybe this theoretical understanding of the Holy Spirit. You might have some sort of doctrinal or dogmatic thoughts about the Holy Spirit. But if what Jesus is saying is true about the Holy Spirit tonight, then it can't be any of those mediocre things. The Holy Spirit has to be so much better than that if Jesus can honestly say it's better that I'm leaving so that you can receive the Holy Spirit. What's so good about the Holy Spirit? Well, so far in John's Gospel, we've already heard a bunch of things. In particular, we've heard it's the Spirit who gives life. Not only does the Spirit give life at the beginning, in the start of the Bible, where God made the world and the Spirit's hovering over the waters, but the Spirit gives life in the New Testament sense of life to the full, life now here with God and life eternal. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life. And Jesus would also explain that the Spirit is like living water that flows from within inside you. So, you know, this bubbling fountain of refreshing water. And Jesus says, if you'd have asked me, you know, I could give you living water. If you're thirsty, come and drink, and I'll give you living water, the Holy Spirit. This sounds so good when Jesus teaches about it that Christians can get together and wonder and ask the question of each other, do I have the Holy Spirit? Do you have the Holy Spirit? I'm not sure if the Spirit's living in me, because Jesus makes this sound so amazing, and I haven't felt this bubbling brook from within inside of me. So what's going on there? At the same time, we see all of this work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of Christians, and sometimes we don't recognize what it is or where it came from. Jesus also compared the Holy Spirit to wind, where the wind comes, where you don't always know where the wind comes from, you don't always know where the wind is going. And with the Holy Spirit, you don't always understand the work going on, where the Spirit's at work, what the Spirit's doing in your life, where the Spirit's taking you. The Spirit could be doing all kinds of things and you may not be attuned to it. So what is the Holy Spirit doing? Well, in our reading today, the Holy Spirit is called the Advocate. Why is he called the Advocate? What do you think of when you think of the word advocate? I think of someone who's in advocacy, speaking up for the poor and the marginalized, standing up for justice, speaking for the truth. I think of an advocate as speaking on behalf of someone else. Sometimes we call lawyers advocates because when you go to the court, the lawyer speaks on behalf of, you know, their client, because they know the law better than the client and they can speak better into that legal situation. And so an advocate is someone who speaks up on behalf of someone else. And I wondered when I was researching this, is that what the Holy Spirit does? Is that what advocate means? And then I did a deep dive into the meaning of the word advocate, and I feel like I owe it to you for all of my preparation to take you into the meaning of the word advocate. I looked up all the original language and did all that kind of backstory. I won't bore you with all the details, but just to say, when you look in different translations of the Bible, this word advocate comes up in different ways. So we're using the New International Version of the English Bible, which is a, you know, pretty readable version that we use here in church. And our Bible says advocate. The Christian Standard Bible, or the Holman, if you're familiar with that, uses the word counselor. The King James Version, old school version, uses the word comforter. The ESV uses the word helper. And the children's Bibles, like the NIRV, use the word friend. And so you see all these different translations for this word, and you think, well, what is it? What does it mean? Quite literally, it just means called alongside. Called alongside. The Holy Spirit is called alongside. And then as for the rest of it, well, it depends a lot on the context, exactly how that translates. And so if you think about those words, advocate is called to your side. Counselor is someone who's called to your side. A comforter is called to your side. A helper is called to your side. A friend is called to your side. And the Holy Spirit is all of those things depending on the context. And so you can see some people prefer this translation. Some people prefer that. In the end, I think we want to hold on to both the personal and the powerful. Because the Holy Spirit is personally alongside and powerfully an advocate for the truth. And here we see this in our, this is actually chapter 14, verse 6. I think this captures it nicely. Jesus is talking about the advocate there, and he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. This is personal. The Holy Spirit will be with you forever. But it's powerful because he is the Spirit of truth, an advocate for what is right and just and true. So that's my really long way of explaining the meaning of the word advocate from our passage today. But I'm really keen to dive in and think about, well, what is the advocate doing? What's the advocate's role? And how does that play out? And that's because this is where the passage takes us, and particularly verse 13. So if you have a look along, verse 13. But when the Spirit comes, he, the Spirit of truth, sorry, I'm going to start that again. But when he, the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. So this is saying that the Holy Spirit's like a tour guide. You can go to a tour guide for a tour of the city, but the Holy Spirit is your ultimate tour guide to the truth. And you might say, well, he's the best tour guide for the truth. In fact, it says here, he will guide you into all truth. That sounds great. What does he mean, all truth? What does it mean to be a guide in the whole truth? If you take it out of context, you could make it be anything. The Holy Spirit will guide you in chemistry. The Holy Spirit will guide you in where to live. The Holy Spirit will guide you in who to marry. But in the Gospel of John, the whole truth is actually regularly spoken of. And I want to just highlight that for you. If you went back to the beginning of John's Gospel, it speaks about the law given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So there's this Old Testament Moses law, and then there's the Jesus final revelation who's come to bring grace and truth. He's not just the teacher of truth, he's the embodiment of truth. We speak of Jesus as the Word become flesh, the revelation from God, the revelation of God, God himself. And we also hear that Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In other words, the Holy Spirit is not here to guide us in all of the truths for maths exams and other things. The Holy Spirit is here as a guide to the truth about Jesus, who is the whole truth that God has revealed, that we can know God and have life to the full. So that's why the Spirit is an advocate. Because even though he's alongside us, he's also summoned by Jesus, alongside Jesus, as an advocate for the truth about Jesus. Our passage puts it like this in verse 26. When the advocate comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me, says Jesus. And you also must testify, for you've been with me from the beginning. This makes it really clear that the Holy Spirit is speaking about Jesus, testifying about Jesus, that it's the truth about Jesus that the Holy Spirit's here to testify to. And then he's going to do that alongside the apostles, because when the apostles and the Holy Spirit, that happens in the early church, you see this explosion of people receiving the truth as the truth spreads out all over the world. They bring the truth about Jesus out into the open so that people understand and believe. But you've got to ask yourself the question, how is it better to have like apostles and the Spirit teaching you about Jesus rather than Jesus himself? Like, would you rather walk around with the apostles and have them teach you about Jesus, or would you rather walk around with Jesus and have Jesus talk about Jesus? And would you rather have an invisible Spirit teach you about Jesus, or would you rather have Jesus to walk and talk with? It almost sounds a little crazy. When we think of going to get the hair trimmed or whatever, maybe go to the physio, you could choose the apprentice or you can get the more experienced. And I don't know about you, but when I'm browsing the website, so I'm looking for the most experienced. Maybe for a haircut, I'd save some money, but probably for a matter of life and death, like surgery, I'm looking for the most experienced. And when we think of the truth, why wouldn't we want Jesus himself? I want Jesus to teach me the truth. How can it be true that it would be better to have the Holy Spirit than to have Jesus? Well, Jesus answers that question in verse 12. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. Let's just pause on that sentence. Because Jesus is saying that the reason it's better is because you can't handle the teachings of Jesus yet. That's what he's saying to his followers. And I reckon this unlocks the meaning of the passage. And if you follow the story, you think about it. The disciples, they didn't get it. They're walking and talking with Jesus, but there's so much that they can't get their minds around. It's like kind of they're blocked up. It's not the problem with the teacher, the problem's with the students. And it's like they've got some eye problems, maybe some head problems and some heart problems. And Jesus is saying, well, actually, you need the Holy Spirit, because there's this truth that you can't bear until the Holy Spirit comes and changes things. The Holy Spirit's going to come and unblock things for you so that you can see and understand who Jesus really is. And that's what it says in verse 12 again. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. So the Holy Spirit is going to help you with you. And that's why this is better. This is better than if you could walk and talk with Jesus. Because the Holy Spirit will open up your heart and your eyes and your mind to be able to understand. Don't misunderstand, the Holy Spirit isn't better than Jesus. The Holy Spirit doesn't replace Jesus. He doesn't have a different message to Jesus. He doesn't override Jesus. No, he's an advocate for Jesus who speaks the truth about Jesus. And so in verse 13 in our passage, we read this. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. Continue reading. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. So everything the Holy Spirit says is from Jesus. And if you're ever comforted by the Holy Spirit, if you're ever guided by the Holy Spirit, then give glory to Jesus. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't say anything that Jesus hasn't sent him to say. In the Gospel of John, we realize that Jesus only says and does what he's been commissioned by his Father. And now we're hearing the Holy Spirit only says and does what he's commissioned by Jesus, who speaks from heaven, and the Holy Spirit interacts with us to bring us into the truth. So we don't need to compare the ministry of Jesus to the ministry of the Holy Spirit as if one's better than the other, because the ministry of the Holy Spirit is the ministry of Jesus. They're one. We call the Spirit of Christ. He is Christ with us. But the big change is in us, because the Holy Spirit changes the way we see, think, and feel, because the teachings of Jesus were more than we could bear. And now with the Holy Spirit coming, we are able to understand. So Holy Spirit turns up. Jesus goes on to do this. He dies. He leaves. He ascends, goes to heaven. And then the Holy Spirit comes. The Holy Spirit comes with a wake-up call. When my alarm went off this morning, it wasn't as pleasant as usual. You know, the loss of the extra hour with daylight savings. When there's a wake-up call, you don't always like the wake-up call, do you? And what we're going to see next in this passage is that the Holy Spirit comes with a wake-up call and says, wake up, world. Because we've got to address some things. And that's what advocates do, don't they? They stand up for truth and justice and they say, wake up. I reckon a lot of people these days are pretty good at pointing out injustices and standing up for justice. That's good. It's hard when you're the one that's made the mistakes and people keep pointing out your mistakes. When we hear about the Holy Spirit saying, wake up, world, the Holy Spirit's pointing the finger at all of us. And that's the challenge here, is that we've got to stand before the Holy Spirit's assessment of the truth and say, and he's saying, wake up, world. Sometimes when people critique you, you don't want the wake-up call, you just want to hit the snooze button, maybe disengage, switch off to it for a while. but it's for our good because it's designed to lead us to the truth. And if that's what you want, then consider what the Holy Spirit is about to say to you. Verse 8, when he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. So Jesus is saying when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to say, wake up, world. You've made some mistakes. You've made some mistakes to do with sin and righteousness and judgment, and it's time to confront those mistakes. Let's start with the first one, verse 9, sin. About sin, because people do not believe in me. This is the first mistake that's mentioned here by the Holy Spirit, that we do not believe in Jesus. In particular, if you think of that generation who rejected Jesus and had him killed and crucified. This is the world in the Gospel of John. The world that opposed Jesus and said, nah, he's not who he says he is, and they put him on the cross. The Holy Spirit says, wake up, world. That is your mistake. That's a corporate mistake. You need to own it. That's sin. Verse 10 goes on to express another mistake. Verse 10, about righteousness, because I'm going to the Father. I wonder what you think that means. If you were to have a chat about that in growth group or after over dinner, what do you think that might mean? I think these couple of verses can be a little bit complex at first to read and understand. I'll give you my perspective and I invite you to keep discussing it. My view here is that we're speaking of the righteousness of Jesus. And when Jesus goes up to heaven to be with God, he's vindicated as being the righteous one. And so what we're hearing by the Holy Spirit is, wake up, world. You've made a mistake in your assessment of Jesus. He's not the sinful one. You, the sinful ones, by misjudging him and putting him on the cross. Now he's vindicated. You need to wake up because he is righteous. And there's one more, verse 11. Wake up about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Another complex sentence. I think it's saying we were wrong about who to follow. We believed in the lies of the evil one instead of listening to Jesus, the good shepherd. And as a result, we've misjudged Jesus again, whereas the devil stands condemned where Jesus is vindicated. So, in my view, all three of those sentences are about our failures to understand Jesus. And I don't know how you feel about hearing that, to be told, wake up, world. You've got a history of making mistakes in relation to Jesus, but if you want to live by the truth, then come and see Jesus for who he is. Because God raised him from the dead and vindicated him and brought him into heaven, and now he sent the Holy Spirit to convict us of our mistakes. Not so that we could wallow in them, but so that we could turn to Jesus and say, Jesus is the truth. And that truth could set us free. Well, I hope that makes sense. I've tried to work through the bits of the passage today to do with the Holy Spirit. I skipped some stuff in the middle that was an overlap with last week, because Jared, when he spoke last week, took us through some of the other verses. We had that read last week, and I've skipped over some of them this week. But what I was hoping to do today is outline a little bit of what this passage says about the Holy Spirit. There's other passages about the Holy Spirit, but I think that's what's on view in this passage, that the Holy Spirit's the Spirit of truth. And if I've been clear today, then I thank God that the Holy Spirit's been helping me to articulate some things. If you haven't found this very clear, then I'm not so worried that you would pray to understand my words, but I would love for you to pray to understand these words, because if this is the Spirit's words and the Holy Spirit, along with the apostles, have given us this truth and put it out into the world so that we can understand the truth about Jesus, then it's important to understand what this is saying. If it makes sense when you read it and it feels right to you, I think that's a sign that you have the Holy Spirit at work in your life. If it doesn't make sense or doesn't feel right to you, I'd invite you to pray that God will give you the Holy Spirit so you can understand what Jesus has made known to the world, what the Holy Spirit has made known to the world. I think it's so amazing what came about off the back of the Spirit coming into the world. If you look back in the book of Acts in the Bible, you'll hear that the very first day that the Holy Spirit came upon the people, there was 2,000 people that suddenly understood what Jesus had been teaching. And it just was like a spark, and it just spread so that the early church just took off as they just couldn't help contain themselves. And they went from town to town and shared with all their friends about Jesus. And all these people understood and believed and felt the freedom and the life that Jesus offers. And if that message has reached you and you feel love towards Jesus, then the Holy Spirit's at work in your life. If that message has reached you and you believe in Jesus, that's not possible without the work of the Holy Spirit. And you might wish that you could walk and talk with Jesus, but the reason you wish that is because the Holy Spirit's come into your life. And if you didn't have the Holy Spirit, you probably wouldn't be thinking about Jesus wanting to walk and talk with him. That's why it's better that the Holy Spirit has come, so that you can understand how good Jesus is and you can actually get excited about the future, where we understand from the Bible that Jesus is going to be reunited with his people and we're going to hang out forever. That's what we get to look forward to. Jesus really meant it when he said, "It's for your good that I'm going away." And it's really great to see that the Holy Spirit is on the move. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, is like the wind. Sometimes we can't understand exactly where the Spirit's moving and what's going on, but we do see lives changed, hearts softened, eyes opened, people's lives just lifting with joy as the freedom of the Holy Spirit makes us realize that Jesus is not just the truth, but he is the way and the life, and we can have life to the full through Jesus. Streams of living water flow from within us, in the sense that through faith in Jesus, we understand all the joy of having a relationship with God, and that will last forever as he quenches our thirst with eternal life and the truth sets us free. I could keep talking about it because I'm excited, but I think I should pray and let others pray and the band lead us in singing. Let me pray. Our Lord, we thank you, Father in heaven, for sending Jesus into this earth. We thank you, Jesus, for giving your life to speak for the truth and to die for the truth. And we thank you for going to heaven where you send us the Holy Spirit. We're so thankful, Holy Spirit, that you guide us in truth. We pray that you would help all of us here to understand Jesus. And may streams of living water flow from within us. Thank you, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.